This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport, powered by fans.
Welcome to the preview show. Today we'll be discussing Palace's home fixture versus West Ham United. I'm joined today by Nick, Cara and Stan. Remember, please, to like, subscribe, wherever you decide to listen to or watch the show. Be sure to check us out on YouTube, Apple, Spotify, etc. We'll start with Cara. It's been a while. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for having me. It's weird to be on the preview side. I don't know. I'll start talking about the last game if you give me too much time. So
you will.
Yeah, you have to rein me in a bit.
That's okay. Nick, how are you today?
I'm very good. Back at work. Nice to be helping these kids with their education and stuff. I have one kid today just really got into the periodic table, and it was just a joy to teach them. And they said, I didn't know about any of this. I didn't even know it existed, and I do, and it's brilliant. And so, yeah, that's made me happy. When your job goes well, you're a teacher, Pat. You know what it's like.
I'm retired, mate. I don't know what it's like anymore. Stan, how are you today? You all right?
I'm good, mate. I'm good. I'm still sort of riding the crest of the wave from Sunday. I'm waiting for the club to release access all over, though, so we can relive it one last time before the weekend, you know, and they're taking their time about it. So, yeah, good.
We're going to touch base on the game in a bit. Of course, you can't just gloss over it. But I wanted to talk about some Palace news first. So, as you may or may not know, our under-21s are in an International Cup semi-final. As of recording, they beat yesterday Everton 4-2. They've advanced to the final. They'll be playing PSV Eindhoven, the same thing they lost to last year. Great performance. If you didn't get to see it, they have highlights on Palace TV Plus. The goal scorers for Palace were Franco Uma, a loanee named Jamaya Umalo from West Ham of late, Danny Imre, and last goals by Justin Devenny. Great performance. If you don't get a chance to check it out, please do. Under-18s beat Southampton over the weekend 3-0. They'll probably end up this season around fifth or sixth in the league. And lastly, our women's team beat Birmingham 1-0. Elise Hughes, and they are now currently in first place with two matches to go and a great chance to get promoted to the WSL. But Cara, please, wax poetic about our women's team, please. I know that's what you and I talk about all the time. So,
God, it is like unbelievably exciting to be in this position. If you think of the last couple of seasons we've had, then to have gone professional, brought in new manager, brought in director of women's football, just really professionalised the setup. And with that has come a good amount of our existing players who have benefited massively from the new training, but also their second season being professional and being able to do it full-time. But also some incredibly exciting young players. Patrick, we've WhatsApped back and forth about many of them while we're listening to dodgy radio streams of the games. Hopefully, you know, we have a chance that will be a thing of the past and we'll be able to watch next season's games on TV. If we get the next couple of games right, then, you know, we could be in the WSL. So we play Lewis at the weekend. We're away at Lewis. Sunderland play Charlton. So they're the other two teams that are around us that could kind of pip us to the post if it all goes wrong. And then, of course, that lines us up perfectly for the last game of the season, which is Palace versus Sunderland. So for anyone who doesn't know, that game is being held at Selhurst. That could be the game that decides that we make history and get promoted to the WSL. So if you haven't got your ticket yet, please, please, please go and get a ticket. I think the last game that was held at Selhurst Park, women's game, broke the record of attendance, and it was over the 5,000 mark. So it would be phenomenal if we could, you know, just smash that again and just have a massive party. But I don't know. I don't actually know what my physical reaction will be if that happens. So we'll have to, see how that goes in a couple of weeks' time.
Without getting ahead of ourselves, Cara, because, you know, we know what football's like, how are we going to get on when we do go up? Because we had the cup game against Chelsea.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So the only thing left to say is, you in? Order now on the McDonald's app. You can also get reward points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus, rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Which is a one-off, and it was very close, although we lost. How do you think we'll fare in the top division? Second question is, how much more? Because obviously you'll get your TV money, you'll attract more players because they all want to be on TV, and even if they just want to be in the shop window for a season, it's a chance for them. What do you rate their chances?
It's a really interesting question, and I think it's one that is the answer to that question will change every year, because what we're seeing now is more and more of the championship teams that are going professional. So for those that don't know, it's a one up, one down. So one team is relegated from the WSL each year, one team is promoted. So what you end up with is, over the years, a professional team going down to the lower league, and pretty much over the last couple of years, whichever team in the championship has turned professional has then gone and got promoted. So the gap between the two leagues has been shortening, only significantly, I'd say, over the last kind of couple of years, but that has been happening. So I think you're seeing a bit more of the same chance that you'd give a team coming up from the championship into the Premier League, I think, to be honest. And it's just kind of how they handle that. I mean, as an example, Birmingham, the team that we beat at the weekend, were relegated. I forget now if it was last season or the season before. And they were kind of heads and shoulders above us when they got relegated into the championship. And we are now kind of convincingly beating them. We would have wanted a slightly more goals at the weekend, I think, but you know, performance-wise, we did very well against them. So that gap is definitely shortening. I think the really encouraging thing for me, and the thing that makes me think that we could get up there and stay up there, is quite how much, not just financial investment, but kind of professional investment has gone into the Palace women's team. And so I would hope with that setup, you've got a young manager who's very well qualified. She did her training in the Chelsea setup, and, you know, will be wanting to establish herself at that level. And obviously a lot of players who are going to be fighting to prove that they can go from championship players to WSL players. So I think we've got every chance, to be honest. In terms of the money, I don't actually know the answer to that, Nick. I've no idea what money they get. I know that, was it Sky came out a couple of weeks ago committing to live broadcast loads of the games next season. I can't remember how many it is, and it's certainly not all of them. But again, you're just seeing more and more of that coming through. So I'll look that up and see if I can get it for you for the next show, money-wise. But I'm very hopeful that if we make it up, we've got every chance of staying there.
And just to finish on this, Patrick, I think what will happen is, if we do go up, lots of people who can't afford to go to first team Palace games will actually go to the women's game to get the experience still supporting Palace. So you know.
It's a phenomenal achievement in a very short space of time as well, because the women's setup at Palace, even sort of 5 or 6 years ago, it was there, but you know, the amount of sort of like what Palace are doing and going up into that Premier League, potentially, given like the budget that we still currently have, it's an amazing achievement. Like, really, there's some big clubs down there that have thrown real money at it and not got there. I will say one thing about the Lewis game. The game's at the Dripping Pan, which is an unbelievable stadium. So I would say to anyone who can get down there and support the team, get down there, because it is a great stadium. So make sure you get down there.
I think one of the issues, unfortunately, that it's Sunday, right? And the men are playing at the same time. Yes. A lot of people may have wanted to go. But again, I highly recommend, listen, I'm a massive fan of football in general and the women's game in, also. So if you can get a chance to go down there. And oh, Carl, you're flying over for the last game, I hope. Yes?
I am. Yeah, I said, Patrick, that Durham game that we were both listening to on the radio and keeping in touch, I said to you then, listen, if we win this, I'm booking my flights, I'm booking my tickets, I'm coming. And then what did we do, 4-1? Was it in the end? I was like, right, okay, well, I'd better do it then. So, yeah, I'm all booked up and ready to come.
Good luck to women the rest of the season. Really hope they get promotion. That'd be great. Let's move on a little bit to the talk about the Liverpool game. Obviously, a fantastic result. I can't speak highly enough of how people around, you know, the game have talked about how well Palace played in that game, how they set up under Glasner to get that result. You know, put a dent in Liverpool's chances is phenomenal. I know Nick and Stan, you were both on the match reaction show, so I'll go to Cara first on this. Cara, what were your thoughts on the Liverpool performance in general?
I just loved it. So I was trying to think of a really clever way to start that. I just loved it. And I think I loved the way that we set up in the first half was just brilliant. And just like, obviously getting the goal kind of early doors. But then I started thinking, oh, we did it against Spurs, didn't we? Is this just going to be the same thing? And I think I texted a couple of people being like, right, we've got our goal. That's, you know, 3-1, 4-1 incoming sort of thing. But that switch never happened on both sides. We never switched off and Liverpool never really switched on enough to work out how to kind of get round the barriers that we were putting in their way. I adore the fact that we've hopefully ruined their title chances again. Not because I particularly care who wins the title, right? But just the fact that it's going to be a while until we get to challenge for the title. And this is the only way that we get to impact who's at the top. So I live for it. I'm absolutely living for it. But the biggest thing for me was coming towards the end of the game. We were so much fitter than we've seen before. And it was the mentality, but also the physicality to be able to keep up that kind of iron wall defence was incredibly, well, it was reassuring, number one, but also just brilliant to watch. It felt like watching, like, that is the identity of a Palace team in my mind, how we played that game.
Yeah. Nick, you and I have gone back and forth on that goal. Now, I've watched the game a couple of times back. I watched that goal back, honestly, 15, 20 times. And I know that Match of the Day said it was 21 passes, correct?
Yeah.
So last night I watched it. So, but the thing is, they don't show maybe initial fake. Because remember, it was Alisson kicked the ball out for a throw-in. Yeah. And then I think Munoz took the throw-in. This is exactly what happened. Munoz to Olise, Olise to Hughes, Hughes to Olise to Lerma, Lerma to Anderson, Anderson made that long switch to Mitchell, Mitchell to Olise, Olise to Mitchell, Mitchell to Olise, Olise back to Lerma, Lerma to Olise, Olise Mitchell, Mitchell Olise, Olise Wharton, Wharton Eze, Eze Wharton, Wharton to Olise, reverse ball to Mitchell, cross to Eze. That's 19 passes.
Okay, listeners and viewers, guess which one of the panel is retired.
Yeah, I was about to say, who's got time on their hands?
So my point is, let's talk about the goal, Nick. Forget the number of touches. I did that as kind of a joke, but it's a brilliant goal, team goal.
Yeah.
Now, a lot of those passes that I just mentioned were one and two touch passes. What I love about the play is that how we overload the left side, influence on the left side was ridiculous. I think that someone said yesterday, 59% of the time our attack on that left side, it was either through Mitchell or Olise would go on that side or Eze. And on that time, you had at one point, you had Hughes, Olise, Wharton, Eze, all on that left side of the pitch, including Lerma. So what are your thoughts on that goal, Nick?
Sublime. And if it isn't in the goal of the month, because it ain't just about screamers and worldies from a distance, that was possibly the best Palace team goal I've seen. There was another one against Liverpool where we broke the Guggen press, and in recent years the goal
stop being silly, it's not Guggen, it's Guggen press, you know what it is,
right? Okay,
goal against Brighton. No,
the one against Brighton was what I was going to as well, that Walter played
the Liverpool's Townsend goal, right? Townsend goal, Liverpool goal, right?
I felt comfortable. I've just mentioned Ward. I felt comfortable with him coming on for Klein because I knew he could do the job there. So it's almost like we've got a like for like swap there. What I will say, without wishing to piss on our chips, because it was a deserved victory, but one, isn't it nice to actually play a team that's going, a top team that's going through a dip? And B, that miss from, oh, who was it? Who missed the sitter with his left foot, just went wide of the post.
Curtis Jones.
Yeah.
Wharton, when he walked right back on him, Curtis Jones, man.
Now, I was thinking when I was doing the washing up earlier, would Curtis Jones have missed that if Klopp hadn't announced his retirement? And has Klopp announcing his retirement put undue pressure on Liverpool because they think they've got to win the league this year?
Maybe.
But this isn't a Liverpool pod. But, you know,
we don't care.
We don't care. But, you know, that all plays a part. But, yeah, the best team performance I've seen for ages against a big team. Liverpool were a bit ropey. But we played our part in making them look ropey.
I agree. Stan, I know you threw out that stat about Glasner. I think it was, what, six games? He struggled when he went to Eintracht and he beat Bayern Munich, right? Was that what it was? And then, obviously, six games in the Palace. Now we've beaten Liverpool. I have to harken back to that break that we had due to the international break in the FA Cup and the fact that we've got our fitness up. Carl just mentioned that. How much do you think that actually affected the team? Because as Nick just mentioned, you know, we're able to bring on Ward for Klein, Schlupp on, Gyro on, you know, using all five subs. What do you think that break has actually done for us as a team under Glasner?
I think it's done. Done him a world of good, you know. And I would say I don't think in his first six games he necessarily struggled here. I just think it took time to implement what he wants to do. You know, the players have been used to another style of play. I think that finally, you know, they're a bit fitter. That takes time as well, right? Because you've got to build your fitness up. And I think they believe a little bit more. And it probably helps having your best player back as well. Let's not, you know, let's remember that. But I just think the whole, you know, the Glasner's sort of philosophy and what he's trying to do is coming to fruition. And, you know, that was always going to take time. He was never going to come in and do it after one or two games. Like his first game was easy. It was probably at the time, probably the worst team in the league, Burnley, right? And he's come in and, I think it's all part of the plan, and the trip helped a lot as well. So yeah, it's good to see it finally come into fruition, because you know, Twitter was full of people saying that apparently Glasner's not changed anything. So
honestly, under Glasner we've got the two wins, the Burnley and Liverpool win. We've got the three losses to Spurs, Bournemouth and City. Again, to me, three of the better team than the league, even Bournemouth, like you're giving credit. And then obviously the two draws against Luton and Forest. So I think that people really hearkened on the late draw to Luton and the not-so-late draw to Forest. So, Nick, do you think that Liverpool win has made up for those drop points against Forest and Luton?
You're muted, Nick.
You're on mute.
Yes, yeah, sorry about that. No doubt, because we were a bit worried that we didn't think we were going to get any points. So, yeah, it made up for 4 hours drive to Bournemouth, standing in the rain, blowing across. I can't believe I was looking at my phone when I was on the telly there, Patrick. What was that all about at Bournemouth? I should have waited.
Yeah, for those who don't know, Nick, I guess the US feed does a cut. It goes to the matches about 5 minutes early, Peacock, and I actually saw Nick in Bournemouth, and it was on his phone. Embarrassing. He's on TV and he's down looking at his phone. They're looking at, you know, instead of waving at the crowd. But anyway, yeah, I guess it does make up for that. So, lastly, I want to talk about, before we actually talk about the West Ham game, I want to talk about some of the changes that Glasner has made as far as the tactics. So, the biggest change obviously was the starting of Nathaniel Klein over Joel Ward, which ended up being no less than a masterclass, because I think having Klein in that lineup. His speed was necessary against Diaz on that side, and then later on Gakpo. Not that Ward wasn't competent as a third centre back, but the fact that Glasner would even do something like that and stick with his philosophy of having those three centre back was important to me. And also his idea of pushing Mitchell up higher up the pitch, keeping Munoz deeper to handle his fellow Colombian the other part really worked. So, Kara, do you think that Glasner's 3-4-3 is something that he'll just stick with? Or do you think, I know people have mentioned in the past, you know, why doesn't he go to a 4-4-2, blah, blah, blah. Do you think that he's been right in sticking to that 3-4-3 formation?
Yes, for this game. And I think this question, Patrick, almost, and I hope I'm not going to ruin your running order for the show, but I think this question almost bridges to talking about the West Ham game, because that's going to be a very different game, a team that's going to set up very differently and is going to need, they're not going to give us the space. I don't think that Liverpool are going to give us. So I think that a bit of a cop out, but I think your question is going to be answered if we put this formation up against West Ham at the weekend and it goes well. Then great. Let's be a team that sticks to how we want to play our game and forces other teams to kind of work around that. Or do we need to kind of look at the fact that we're going to have to tweak it depending on which opposition we come up against? I think it's too early to say, really, especially with Elise now just only just being back for that game. We've got to kind of at least give it this weekend and see. I would want to see him play this lineup against West Ham, I think, to begin with, and see how that first half goes. And then if we need to make some changes. But every single player was clearly very confident in the position that they were in, very confident in the job, the kind of task they'd been given. And I think there's no reason to change that going into this game, unless we come out of it and go, do you know what, didn't work against a
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Slightly different team. Let's kind of twist. So I'm up in the air about it at the moment, but I would like to see this formation again at the weekend.
Yeah, I agree with that. Stan, we're familiar with the way that West Ham plays. They're not going to want the ball. They're going to sit back. They prefer to counterattack. So it'll be interesting to see how Glasner sets up. What are your thoughts on this game, just in general or formation-wise, as far as Palace versus West Ham this weekend?
You know what? West Ham's a funny one because this season and last season especially, you just don't know what West Ham team is turning up, right? Because there's weeks when they're like, they're so good. They're good, right? So like kudos, Paqueta and, you know, and Souček and whoever else plays there. Playing off the park. Yeah, brilliant. And then there's weeks that they just don't show up. Ward-Prowse, you know, can't put a good ball in the box, et cetera, et cetera. So it's going to be interesting to see which West Ham team turns up this week. I remember we played them around this time last year at Selhurst. They were still in Europe. They were obviously going for a European trophy. They were actually fighting relegation last year. I think they finished so low down, but we wiped the floor with them. I think we conceded. I think three bad goals from set pieces, but we played them off the park. You know, hopefully it'll be a repeat of that. It probably won't be, to be honest with you, because they've obviously added a few players. Formation-wise for Palace, I would keep it the same because I think, you know, West Ham are probably a team where we can play more on the front foot, and I want to see us play on the front foot against the semi-decent side. You know, it's probably maybe not in that sort of top three or four and see how we do. You know, it's interesting.
Factor into that, sorry Patrick to interrupt, but factor into that as well, they're playing tomorrow. They've got their big Europa game tomorrow. So I think it'll be interesting to see. I don't suppose they've put a thought in about Palace yet. They're all going to be, you know, game up towards that game. So that could impact it too.
No, perfect segue, Carl, because I can actually talk to Nick about that. Nick, they are playing Leverkusen, right, tomorrow in the Europa League. And obviously it's a big game for them. Paqueta is suspended for that game, but will be available for the Sunday game. So what do you think, how do you think West Ham will approach a game against Palace? I mean, my thoughts are they're going to obviously put full throttle for the game against Leverkusen, but what do you think about them versus us on Saturday?
Well, that's not going to be an easy game, and it's not going to be a game where, like in earlier rounds, Moyes would use more of his sort of further down the pecking order of the squad in the group games. So he's going to want to put a strong squad out. Now, is the second leg next week, or is this the second
leg? This is the second leg.
This is the second leg. I think it was, what, 2-0? They went two down.
They lost
2-0.
Right? Yeah. Are they at home or are they in Germany?
They're at home this time. They lost 2-0 away.
They lost in Germany. They lost to... My son calls them Bayer Never Losing, is their nickname.
Leverkusen just won the league as well. They won the league at the weekend as well.
They did. Going for the treble in Germany, Sorry, Nick, go ahead. What were you saying?
Be fair.
Anyway, I can't remember what we were talking about, but just the setup. I've been looking on whoscored.com about West Ham scoring. I think 70% of their goals come down the middle. Now, whether they're scored because of the cross, I don't know. I didn't delve into it that much. But I still think we need those three centre-backs with Munoz and Mitchell zooming up and down the wing, supported by those just inside him. Lerma, you'd believe he was a defender, wouldn't you, if you saw him playing in defence? Just absolutely immense. We've got Klein, who, if the right wing back is up the pitch, he knows that job because that's where he's played as well. And he's got enough wisdom now, football wisdom, because he might not be as quick, but his football brain will tell him where to be. You find that with the old players. They maybe not as athletic, but they're wiser and wilier. And that block he did against Liverpool just shows that, really, doesn't it? But I think we'll be at them. Especially at home, the crowd will be very buoyed by that. Let's just hope that West Ham goes into extra time tomorrow.
Well, as time of recording, Man City are going over extra time against Real Madrid. But unfortunately, I have bad news. Arsenal lost, so they're out. Terrible news. Terrible news, I'm sure.
I said Harry Kane might win something this year.
Yeah, he definitely could. Regarding tactics, I wanted to throw this out there because I thought Joachim Anderson had a brilliant game against Liverpool. And I've always said in the past that in a back four, he's so much better playing with Mark Gahey because of Mark Gahey's ability to read a game, his speed, etc. But I have to admit that seeing him in a back three, whether that be with Richards and Lerma, Richards and Ward, or Ward and Lerma, whoever he's been with, I like how he's playing, because I noticed against Liverpool, in a back three, he's able to step into the midfield more and help support Ward and Hughes. And that has actually made him a little more confident, because I think having two defenders to help him as opposed to just the one has made him more confident. So, Cara, Nick had mentioned before about Klein for the game this weekend. Would you go back to Joel Ward, or would you stick with Klein as the third centre-half?
No, I'd stick with it. I'd stick with exactly that. And just picking up on that point that you make, Patrick, I think we saw, you know, especially during the period where we saw Anderson getting quite frustrated before Glasner came in, one of the things we did learn about him in that period was that he does see the forward movements ahead of what you would maybe expect some other defenders to see. And he's pretty much enjoys starting that movement off, right, and being a part of it. And I think at that point, we maybe didn't see as much of how useful that could be, because he was having to do it because we were pretty much useless in midfield, right? There was nobody else doing it. But now, and we saw it against Liverpool, like, he can switch from defence to attack so quickly that I would want him in that position, and I would want Klein there doing the job that he did against Liverpool all the time. And I think especially because you know that Joel Ward is going to come on and pretty much pick up where Klein's left off. So if we need to make the sub, we need to make the sub. I'm not worried about him having to come on. I would keep it exactly the same.
Okay. One thing I love so far is in Glasner. I mean, there's a lot to like about him, is that One is using the entire squad. I mean, Jairo was out for a while, and as soon as he's fit, he's back in there. He doesn't overuse players. He took out for Lise and Eze because of the injury stuff. And the fact he's now got Klein playing position and Lerma playing out of, I wouldn't say out of position, but playing position they're not familiar with, and it's made them more versatile. So now he's making, basically building squad depth. But Sam, I want to ask you, Karin mentioned, we talk about Ward and Klein. I don't know as of today if there are any injury news. I know Rakitić, by the way, I forgot to mention, Rakitić played on Monday in that under-21 game, so did they, Dozo, so they should be fit. Would you make any changes, Stan? We talked about the back, so you don't worry about that. You make any other changes as far as the lineup for the game against West Ham?
I think Chris Richards might be back for that game.
Okay.
And if he's back, I'd probably put him in because he is a, like, he was playing well before he got injured, and he is a out and out centre back. And I think putting Lerma into midfield for Will Hughes will probably make us stronger there. You know, Lerma playing alongside Wharton. That's what I think. Not just saying Will Hughes had a bad game on Sunday, because he didn't at all. He was great. But I do think that if Richards is back, I'd slot him back into.
He's not back. He's not back till the end of the month, according to London World.
Oh, is it? Okay. Well,
I just looked it up. I must have read your mind when you were thinking about that. So they're saying late April. But, I mean, Hughes has had a renaissance. I think Hughes has been the most. I mean, with Mateta, we know, has improved. But the most recent, most improved player is Will Hughes. And, yeah, it's just good to see him enjoying it and having an impact on the game rather than just being a figure in the game.
You know what, though, Nick? The one thing I've always said about Will Hughes is that he is a decent squad player, but he's never been the guy that you should hedge your bets on week in, week out. And obviously, he's doing what he does as a squad player now. He's coming in because someone's injured. He's done well. Fair play to him. There's a really good piece on him. It was his birthday today, actually. So happy birthday, Will Hughes. Right. There's a good piece on the Palace app regarding him. And he talks about, obviously, like, he's obviously a little bit older now. He, like, you know, he, in the dressing room, setting the standards, et cetera, et cetera. And that's, like, you know, you can't just have a team of ballers. Like, you saw Chelsea the other day, like, they got a team of absolute ballers and they're acting like kids arguing over who should take a penalty, right? You can't really have that. So he's an important player in the squad in general. And I'm pleased for him that he's doing well, you know, that he's getting that chance. But like I said, as soon as we can revert to type, I would revert to type because it will make us stronger.
I definitely think going forward that it wouldn't be ideal to have Hughes there, but I got to give him credit. I want to get to the West Ham game at the London Stadium that Nick and I attended in a minute. Nick and I will talk about that a bit because I saw him in person. He doesn't have the legs, but he was playing as a number 10 behind. At that time, must be Mateta. No, it was actually Edward. Edward scored the goal. He doesn't have the legs to play that position. He doesn't. But if you put him in a position where he can sit there, have Wharton make the passes, or play as an eight, he's fine. But to have him as a creative playmaker, which he did at Derby when he was 10 years ago, 10 years younger. No, he's not. But that's what I'm saying. But my point is the fact that Glazer saw that and put him in a position to thrive. I think is again another credit to the manager. But Nick, luckily December. You and I, your son, got to see the first game, the 1-1 London Stadium. Can you talk a little bit about that game, your thoughts? And because I had a great time. It's great to be home. Great to go with you to the match. It's my first time at that stadium. What are your thoughts, your memories, of that 1-1 match? Don't tell me you don't remember because I was there with you.
You eating Greggs for the first ever time.
Wow.
The first ever time.
You had a Greggs sausage roll.
I had three.
To be fair. They are good.
They're fantastic. They're fantastic.
No, it was a great day out, wasn't it? And to be honest, I spent most of the game watching you thoroughly enjoying yourself, actually being at a Palace away game, because you said you hadn't
been. It was great. Yeah.
But we kind of played well. We kept West Ham quiet. Was it Elise who scored in that one? It was.
Edward.
Right in the goal, we were behind. Yeah, the goal we were behind. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's all a bit hazy, but yeah.
But it was. Oh, thanks. Good. So the one time I get to go to a game with you away, you forget all about it. Cheers. I appreciate that.
No, I remember being with you and chatting with you. when you go week in, week out, the game merge and yeah. especially when it's a chore. But yeah, and other games will stick in your mind, like Liverpool, even though I wasn't there, but I will, you know.
Understood. So plus, let's get.
I don't watch them back six times.
I didn't watch that one back. I was there. I didn't watch that one back. I watch the game when I'm not at the game. Of course, I watch them back. You're right. I've got a lot of free time. I'm doing preview shows and other stuff. I want to be prepared. So yeah. But anyway.
And do you listen to radio commentaries when you're playing golf as well?
Say again.
Do you listen to old radio commentaries when you're playing golf as well?
No. You know what? All right. So you want to talk about golf? See, I always try and avoid playing golf when there are matches on because I actually will put the games on in my headphones, but I get so into the game, it messes up my golf game. I have my worst golf when the football's on. So I never play golf when Palace are playing. Never. I can watch. I don't care about other team, but if Palace are playing, I've done it in the past. I refuse to anymore. I play so poorly. Once you can see the goal, I'll get upset. If we are ahead, I'll get all tense. We're gonna hold on for the no. So anyway, don't ever just future. If you're a golfer, don't play golf and listen to a Palace match. It's not
good. I second that. I've done it before. It's not advisable.
Yes, he's then knows exactly. So basically,
I just don't play golf.
Oh, no, Cara. What's the one for this? No. second best player in the world. Cara, don't do that. I love it. And I only started playing 10 years ago. I thought the same thing about it. I'm telling you. Here's the thing about golf, real quick. If you love it, you get addicted. If you don't like it, it doesn't. You know what I'm saying? You're all the all in or you're all out. It's not one of the things you kind of like. So if you're not, I understand people don't like the game because watching it can be boring. But if you're a player, it's great. Anyway, back to the Palace preview of Palace versus West Ham at Selhurst Park. The form guide. Palace have last five, drawn two, lost two, and won one. West Ham have drawn two, won one, and lost two, just like Palace. Their losses have been to Newcastle and Fulham. Obviously, we lost to Bournemouth and Man City. Let's get to predictions because we've pretty much talked about the game. Nick, you're going, I'm assuming, correct?
Yeah.
All right, great. So we'll start with you. Your prediction for the game this Sunday, Palace versus West Ham.
I think we will win 3-1.
I
think that
you want to give goal scorers. You're getting very confident.
That's a big statement.
I think Mitchell will score.
I'm writing this down. Mitchell.
Eze.
Mateta. Yeah. Great. Got you. Cara, prediction for Sunday.
Right. I came onto this thinking, no, do you know, I think it's going to be 0-0. And then you guys have kind of talked me around.
So we're here for.
So I'm now going to go 2-1. Three is madness, Nick.
2-1 West Ham. Cara, how could you?
2-1 Palace. Come on.
Yeah, I'm thinking of Dan's complete a correct assertion that you never know what West Ham you're going to get, like the box of chocolates in Forest Gump. Yeah.
I'm just hoping that either...
I'm thinking on the spit, West Ham.
Well, I'm thinking they're either going to be knackered, right, from tomorrow, or they're going to be seen over the moon that they've like pulled it back and managed to get through, that they're definitely still going to either be drunk or hungover.
Before we get to the stands, keep in mind, we actually do have a good record against West Ham recently. Remember last year, we beat them 4-3 under Hodgson. Obviously, we couldn't defend any set pieces, but Ayew, Zaha, Schlupp and Eze scored last year, so... and just in general, I mean, the Jordan Ayew goal for another one. We've actually played them very well. The Zaha goal to draw it 1-1 late. I mean, we played well against West Ham at Selhurst Park. So I'll go you, Stan. If I give you mine, Stan, what's your prediction?
So I'm thinking there's going to be goals for both teams. Antonio always causes us problems. Whether we win or lose, he's a problem. He's not even that good, but he's a problem for us. I'm going to go for a draw. I'm going to say 2-2.
Wow. I'm as optimistic as Cara and Nick. I think we've definitely turned the corner with Glasner. I think the players understand what he wants to do. They bought into it. I love the reactions after the game. Henderson going to the crowd. Glasner's talk after. I think it's great. I'm going to go 2-0 Palace. I think West Ham will be so down in the dumps after getting knocked out of the Europa League that we're going to take it to them. It's not a game we have to win. I think we're pretty much safe now on 33 points, but I think it would be nice to get a couple more wins before the end of the season. So I'm going to go 2-0. I'm going to pick the scorers too. Carl's favorite player, JP, will get one. And Anderson will get a header finally on a corner. We need a
on the corner, yeah.
Now you are being ridiculous. Can I ask you about West Ham?
Even though the show's over, go ahead, Nick. Let's continue.
Right, who's the best West Ham player you've seen play in real life, Patrick?
I was going to say Clyde Best, and you would know why I would say that, right? I'm not going to say Clyde Best, but I would honestly say Trevor Brooking. Honestly, Trevor Brooking went in. Yeah, for me. I mean, because I go way back. I mean, I think I put that on Twitter. That might have been the first game I ever saw in 71 or 72. My dad took me to a West Ham game, and it's actually on YouTube. We lost, but I'm pretty sure because they had two, you know, they had Clyde Best and another player, young player, a young black player. And my dad always wanted me to kind of see, you know, so I'm pretty sure, but I would say Trevor Brooking was an absolutely class player. Yeah. Not as much for England, unfortunately, but for West Ham, is brilliant. I thought he was a brilliant football player, and I didn't really follow West Ham that much. But I would say, who would you say, Nick? I'm curious, who would you say?
Well, I'm just going to ask you, did you see Bobby Moore play for Fulham? Because that could almost count.
I saw George Best and Bobby Moore play, but you said West Ham, not Fulham. I don't remember Bobby Moore for West Ham, honestly. He have been on that team.
He played for West Ham, didn't he? That's, you could almost count it.
The academy, yeah. I mean, academy of football. So yeah, he
played the original academy, yeah.
Won the World Cup with them.
Yeah, of course they did. Of course they did.
Nick, sorry.
I've seen Trevor Brooking play, but the one that impressed me the most, you're going to laugh, Tony Cotty. Brilliant forward.
Great striker.
I say Declan Rice. Declan Rice for me.
That was going to be my answer as well. Yeah, it from me, Stan. Stole it from
me. The young people always come up with those. You know what I mean, Nick? The youngsters are going to come up with the guy from 5 minutes ago. We go back to 1970.
I've actually seen in real life. So I think mine was a little bit more limited.
Got you. Yeah.
I asked Theo the same question. Do you know who he said? James Ward-Prowse.
Exactly. And on that note, I want to thank Nick, Cara and Stan for joining me today. Again, if you haven't checked out the match reaction, please check it out. I know Dee did the opposition preview with Dan Lawless from West Ham Fan TV. Check that out. Hopefully a good performance coming up this weekend. But for me, Patrick, again, thanks. And until next time, come on, you Palace.
Out of Palace.
Eagles.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates around. You've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.